Everybody has to deal with fear at some point. And one thing about confession of God's word is it will dispel fear. Because what you're doing, remember, praise, when you're praising God, that gets your focus off of your troubles and off of your fears and puts it on God. Confession dispels fear. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yeah, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Have you ever noticed in reading the Bible how many times God has told his children to fear not? Pretty much one for every single day of the year. Here's the thing about fear. It's not from God. Fear is a spirit. The Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Since he has not given us the spirit of fear, where does the spirit of fear come from? Satan. Every fear known to mankind has its root in the fear of death. Every one of them will go back to the fear of death. Death is a mystery to mankind. Because, number one, we were not created to die. That was not part of the original game plan. God told Adam to not eat of the fruit of that tree, lest you die. So what happened? Adam ate of that tree and he died immediately spiritually, and it took the devil 1,000 years to get him killed physically. And then he honed his methods a little bit and people's lifespans shrunk considerably. Death is part of the curse. The Bible tells us that, and here's where a lot of people get mixed up. In the wilderness, the children were running around and God told them, people said, your days are 75, basically around 75, 80 years. That was for the children of Israel, for that generation that didn't go into the promised land because of unbelief. Remember when God dealt with Noah, he said, as for man, his days will be 120 years. That's what he's given us, 120 years. Now, how well you take care of your body and your spirit is going to help determine how many of those 120 years you realize. Some of us have a habit of poking the bear and wearing our bodies out faster than what we should. But I noticed one thing, the Spirit of God rejuvenates our spirit and quickens our mortal bodies. And it's interesting to see how some of these different people live. A pastor friend of mine said he'd go down to this one nursing home in the county that I lived in and minister to them down there. And he said it was kind of a gloomy place. And he couldn't figure it out. But he'd go down there and minister anyway. And then he'd go to the county above us, to a nursing home up there, and he said that place was rocking, and these people were way older than the ones in our county. And he finally figured out there was a bunch of old Pentecostals in that nursing home. So these people have been praying in tongues. And said it was a rocking good time. I mean, these guys, they were just, I mean, they were outliving everybody. See, there is something about the Spirit of God and praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is a good thing. It edifies your spirit. There's life in that. But he said to fear not. When Jairus sought Jesus to heal his daughter, the Lord said to him, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. You know, this guy, his daughter was sick. See, it's one thing to be in faith when the problem is not attached to you. You know, it's easy to stand in faith for somebody who's not close to you, so maybe somebody you've never even seen. You know, we pray for people all the time. And a lot of them we haven't seen, and then we get a report back saying, hey, they're well, they're good. It's another thing to see somebody you love stretched out on a bed and be standing in faith for them. And it's quite another thing when it's you. But here's what Paul said. He said, oh, death, where is your sting? See, the second death, we don't qualify for that. We already done all the dying we're going to do. Amen? Death has no sting for us. If we leave our bodies, we change addresses and we're in the presence of God. And how bad can that really be? I mean, honestly, how bad could it be to all of a sudden just have no sickness, no pain, nothing attached to you, and you're in the presence of your Creator, your loving Heavenly Father? How bad could that be? That's really not a bad situation. See, sometimes people have to deal with this to get the fear out of the way, so that they can receive what they need from God. So, what happens if you get some, you know, you go to the doctor and he gives you some name that's about that long, and he says, this is the most horrible thing. I knew it was this. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible deal. You're toast. You got 90 days, go get your affairs in order. I hate it when they say you got this amount of days. They're not God. And people internal, they go home, they tell the wife, say, I have cancer. The doctor says, I've got 90 days, we got to do this. And they'll believe themselves into the grave in 90 days. Because they put all their faith into that. They've already accepted it. They've claimed it. They've made it theirs. Here's where we need to be. Say you do get attacked with something. Then you need to decide, okay, I'm going to fight this with faith. The devil attacked me. It's against the law for him to attack me with that on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Either way, you're going to win. If you weave when you should have wobbled and you just all of a sudden in the presence of God, well, you won. But if you stand in faith and you say, no, I'm not going to let this stuff take me out, you win. But the fear issue has to be dealt with. It has to be addressed. Now, for you, there's no mystery in death. You died on the cross with Christ. If you leave your body, you're in God's presence. Smooth sailing from there. If you stand in faith and watch God show up and show off in your life, you win. It's good to go. You got a little more time to do some fun things down here. You see where we're coming at? Fear has to be dealt with. Every time we come to the end of the road, or this is the end. How many times have you ever been to the end? Like, there's no way I can survive this. There's no way I can get through this. How many times have you ever been there? If you're honest, you've been in some tight places, and you're thinking that, man, it's over. But if you'll just look back in your past, you'll find out that God has had a 100% track record of bringing you through impossible situations. Amen. It's never too late. As long as you have a breath in your body, you can speak the word of God and turn your situation around. I mean, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. That's pretty late. But one word from God can change your whole situation. That's what we need to be looking for. We need to look to Him. Ask Him for a scripture to stand on. Ask Him for a word. When Christ was preaching to His disciples, He said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here, I'll give you that scripture. That's in Luke 12:32. He said, fear not. See, a lot of times, people are wondering how in the world they're going to survive. You know, I'm running into people all the time. People are on such a short fuse right now because they know something's not right. There's a lot of pressure in the spirit realm. They know something's not right. Inflation is going through the roof. Gas prices are going through the roof. Food's going through the roof. Some stuff that's supposed to be showing up isn't showing up on the grocery shelves. You know, they see these natural things, and it puts a lot of pressure on them, and they pop. I notice people are really snapping a lot. The Bible tells us in the end times that people's hearts will fail them. That's because what it boils down to is fear. Fear of the unknown. See, the things that made sense to them before are not adding up now. You know, they see the stock market going down. They see things happening. They see, you know, what they used to be able to buy for $10 now costs them $30. And they're not understanding why stuff isn't working. And it's really putting a lot of pressure on them. Be diligent about paying attention to who you're talking to, because people are under a lot of pressure right now. You're going to start seeing people snap. because they don't have a pressure relief valve like you. See, they don't understand this fear not deal. They don't understand this thing that God has freely given them all things with Christ Jesus. They don't understand this thing that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not everybody is where you are. You can't expect them to be. Yet be there for them, because they're going to be asking some questions. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, the Lord appeared unto Isaac. He was renewing the covenant that he made with Isaac's father Abraham. And the Lord said, "Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless you." Isn't it interesting to know how often God would say, "Fear not"? And there's a lot of spirit-filled Christians that are wondering what that noise was under their bread. They don't want to put their foot down. Freak out over a little mouse. Or that Boone and Crockett spider the other day. But here's the thing. It takes a little bit of time, a little bit of practice to trust God. You know, it was interesting about Peter. He was in jail. They had him between guards. They had him chained to the floor. And he was in jail. And he just kicked back, sleeping. And an angel had to kick him in the ribs, telling him to get up and let's go. That's pretty laid back. That's in a bad situation. See, these are the same guys that strung Jesus up. He had to know that he had no doubt in his mind that they were capable of doing it to him. But Peter wasn't always that way. See, before that, they were in a boat that Jesus sent them out in. And they got out there and got in trouble. And Jesus went out there, walked on water, and got them out of trouble. That's when Peter walked on water. But before that, they were on a boat ride, and Jesus was on the boat with them. So you see how Peter had to practice this a little bit? He started off going on a boat ride with Jesus. And then Jesus expanded his bubble a little bit, sent him out on the boat without him. And then he grew a little more to the point where he was in an impossible situation and he just wasn't worried about it. It's a practice thing. You can set yourself up little altars in life and remember these points where when you thought you were at the end of the road where it was just going to be a sudden drop off, you take the next step and it's all over. And how God delivered you. Remember those places. Remember how those miracle finances came in. Remember how all of a sudden somebody came in with the right word of wisdom at the right time and told you just exactly what you needed to hear. Remember those times on the problem in front of you. But remember those times when God turned the whole thing around on your behalf. And keep on repeating His word. Keep confessing His word. Remember, you're not twisting God's arm when you're confessing His word. What you're doing is you're feeding your spirit. Amen? You can feed your spirit to the point of relaxation, where the problem is handled by God. You don't know the answer. You don't know which way to turn, but you're just taking one more step and one more step. You're taking the next step. And then pretty soon, you find out that you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and He has protected you all the way. Amen? Don't ever forget to plead the blood of Jesus. Keep that on your tongue. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over your family, over your animals. Plead the blood of Jesus. And if something happens, for crying out loud, don't blame God. He's not your problem. He's your answer. Amen? And here's another thing. Don't say, where did I go wrong? Say, devil, you crawled the fence, but I kick you out. That's not going to happen again. Amen? Keep pleading the blood of Jesus and confessing the word of God. If God had just said, don't be afraid, and left us there, we might say, but I can't help being afraid. But not only did He say, fear not, He also said, I am with you. Said, I am with you. Can we really believe that He is with us and still be afraid? Sometimes practicing the presence of God is a real challenge. You know, I mean, try to go through your day sometimes acting like Jesus is standing right beside you. See how that changes the way you think. See how that changes the way you talk. See how that changes the way you do anything. Practicing the presence of God is a real challenge. But it's worth it. But I promise you, we're always going to have a tendency to get in the flesh. You know, there's a lot of stupid people running around. No, you've got the mind of Christ. There's a lot of people that do some incredibly crazy things. And that's a challenge sometimes, to hold your tongue. Can we really believe that He's with us and still be afraid? No. If we are afraid, it is because we are doubting Him. Someone might say, I'm so weak. God said, I will strengthen you. Someone might sound helpless. Someone might say, God said, I will uphold you. See, Jesus had to have an answer to Satan when he tempted him. You know, what did Jesus say? He said, it is written, and He quoted the word of God to him. If Jesus had to quote the word of God to Satan, what makes you think you're going to be any different? It would be wise for you to have two or three it is written in your little toolbox for the challenges that you may face. So a new challenge arrives. Go to the Bible. Remember, whenever there's something wrong, it's because there's something right that has already been established. The blessing came before the curse. The curse is just something that's Satan twisted. He took the blessing and twisted it and turned it into the curse. He's never been able to create anything. He's only been able to counterfeit and twist. So if there's something wrong, it's because there's something right already, and that right has already been paid for on that cross. We need to look to the cross. Look at what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Look at what the blood has already paid for. Find that promise for us and put that in our arsenal of it is written. Sometimes when I get a lot of pressure put on me, I will go out to the goat pens and I will holler, it is written. I'll start throwing my it is writtens around a lot. I got to take it out on the devil, because remember, our war is not with flesh and blood. Well, they need to preach too. Said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So the goats get to hear it too. Go to Psalm chapter 119, verse 128. Says, my soul melteth for heaviness. I know each one of you have felt that heaviness. When something terrible has happened, it feels like there's 10 tons of weight on you. You can't breathe. You just feel like you're pinned down. But also, right next to that, it says, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. That's where our strength is going to come from. His word. When we speak his word into our problems, we're also speaking his word into our hearts. We're hearing it come out of our mouth, and it's going into our heart. That's going to build faith. When you do that for a little while, you're going to find that that weight gets lifted off of your spirit. You'll be more free-flowing. Amen? It may take a little bit. Well, I said it 3 or 4 times and nothing happened. Well, good for you, trooper. You know, sometimes it may take several months. But it will leave. Grief is one of those things. It's good to have a healthy grieving period. Cry, bawl, do whatever you got to do. Get it out. But if you're still grieving the loss of a loved one 6 months, a year down the road, you need to do something different. If you're still grieving that loved one 2, 3 years down the road, you really need to seek help. If you're grieving this loved one 10, 15 years down the road, you've wasted a lot of your life. I've seen this happen a lot of times. People completely give up living. You know, maybe their wife died, maybe their husband died, or their dad, whatever. And I know that's horrible, and it hurts. It really does cause pain in us. I mean, we're attached to them. But we have to understand, you know, if they're Christians, they go to a much better place than what they got here. And they just would not come back, even if they had the opportunity. Why would they come back to hang around with us after they've been in the presence of Jesus? I mean, that's just not even a comparison. So we need to see them in that light. Now, this doesn't mean that we just completely forget about them. We look on them with fond memories, but look, if you're hanging on with every thread of your being and you just don't think that you just want to go on living without, you got to stop. You've turned them into your God, and you're in a dangerous position. Not only are you going to ruin your life, but you're going to ruin the life of the loved ones around you. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. That's us. We're the simple. But it's the entrance of His Word that brings light into our situation. We're always looking for light. We're always looking for an answer. We're always looking for guidance. You know, we're always looking for relief. We have our relief in God. We have our relief in prayer. We have our relief in His promises and in His Word. A lot of people don't have that relief. You know, they go out in the world, they go through their day-to-day grind, and at the end of the day, they need some relief. So they go to the alcohol, or they go to the drugs, or they go to sex, or they go to eating, or they go to whatever it is. They're looking for relief. They want the pressure to go away, so they mask the symptom. And then the pressure's back. See, recognize this in people. They're under an extreme load of pressure and they don't know how to deal with it, or they refuse to deal with it. When you understand that, you can kind of locate people, see where they're at. Don't try to manipulate them into doing things your way. You may pray for them. Amen? So it is true that in ourselves, we may be weak and helpless, burdened down with cares and problems. But in our weakness, we look to His Word for strength. Remember the entrance of Thy Word. The entrance of Thy Word gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. That's what we really need. We need to understand what's going on. We may not have the complete solution to the problem before us, but God will give us understanding. He'll take us through the trouble, or even over the trouble. You know, you can be like an eagle. You know, the pilots have reported seeing eagles 30,000 foot up in the air. And their wings aren't flopping. They just get locked, their wings locked, and they start soaring and soaring and soaring. Then they get up above the storm. And they just kind of cruise along up there until the storm's over, and they come back down. We can do that. You know, there you can have peace in the midst of turmoil. What did Jesus say when he walked out on, when the disciples, they came up there, they woke him up and said, "Don't you care, we're going to drown?" And Jesus got up and told the wind and the waves, said, "Peace, be still." peace, be still. Only, I'm sure he probably said shalom. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. All the blessings, all the right things of God coming on you. Shalom. That's what he's saying to you. He wants you to be in shalom. Not just peace. Shalom. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you every day that you take care of us. We thank you even in the midst of our troubles and our mistakes, that you are mindful of us, that you are looking after us. You're waiting for us to petition you. You're waiting for us to call out our dependence on you as our Creator. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.